Good evening to all. We'll continue, as our brother said, from the book of Revelation. And let me see if I can bring up my slides. Just a moment, I should have the slides up. And I'm going to share my screen. Can you see my screen now?
Yes.
Okay. So this is looking at the start of the tribulation. As we start Revelation chapter 6, we see in these pictures the four horses, the white horse, the red horse, the black horse, and the pale horse. And the first two verses is what I would like to read now. And I saw when the Lamb opened one of the seals, and I heard the noise of thunder, one of the four beasts saying, come and see. And I saw, and behold, the white horse, and he that sat on him had a bow, and a crown was given unto him, and he went forth conquering and to conquer. Now, who is this here in chapter 6 saying, and I saw, and this is John, Apostle John has seen the Lamb of God, who is our Lord Jesus Christ. He opens the first seal and he says he heard, as it were the noise of thunder. Now, thunder, when we hear thunder, we know there is a storm coming in. We know something drastic is going to happen. And sometimes before a show or a play, there is a drum roll that happens. And so in this case, the tribulation, the period of judgment on this earth, is starting off. And so we hear the noise of thunder. And one of the beasts that was there out of the four beasts tells John, come and see. And let's look at verse number 2. And it says, and I saw, and behold, a white horse. And he that sat on him had a bow, and a crown was given unto him, and he went forth conquering and to conquer. So we see the first scene, the first event that is taking place as the great tribulation starts. So the tribulation starts, a white horse, and he that sat on him had a bow. What does the white horse signify? It signifies righteousness. But in this case, who is the rider on this white horse? That is the question that we have. Now, some Bible scholars say this is Jesus Christ on this white horse. However, some others say this is Antichrist. So we got to see if we can conclude who is riding on this white horse. No doubt there are some similarities of the rider. In this case, both the Jesus Christ and Antichrist rides on the white horse. Secondly, both of them has a crown. We see that this rider also have a crown, and also both are overcomers. What do we understand by overcomers? That means they are victorious, and that's what we come to understand. So looking at this, we see that most probably this rider on this white horse is the Antichrist. So how can we justify that? Because some say it is Jesus that is riding on this white horse. So when you look at that, first of all, Jesus Christ is presently up in heaven. He's opening the seals and conducting and taking care of the judgments on this earth. And he wouldn't be sending forth and then sitting on the horse on this white horse and coming to do the judgments. And moreover, there are more seals to open and more judgments to be done. And so it is most probably and possibly the Antichrist. The other thing is, the second point is, here the rider on the white horse is carrying a bow without arrows. So we see Jesus Christ, when he rides and comes riding with the white horse, he comes with a sword. And so there is a difference here. Now here, we also see this rider comes at the start of tribulation, whereas Jesus Christ comes riding on the white horse at the end of tribulation. So by looking at that, we see that this rider is imitating Jesus Christ, and this rider is the great master counterfeit. That means he imitates everything or a lot of things that Jesus does. When we look at how do we say Satan and his people are the counterfeit people, we see that God has his son, Jesus Christ, his only begotten son. And we look at the opposite of that, we see Satan has his sidekick as Antichrist. The second counterfeit we see is Jesus is the Prince of Peace, whereas here we find that Antichrist is a great imitator of peace. He goes and signs a 7-year treaty with Israel. Israel has been looking for peace, the Hezbollah and the Golan Heights Palestinians and Jordanians. They are all attacking and have been attacking Israel, including Syria, and even Iran wants to wipe out Israel from the face of the earth. And it is at this time when here Antichrist comes and makes a peace treaty for 7 years. But the problem is, it is not true peace, because he terminates that peace and he breaks the agreement at 3.5-year period at the middle of the tribulation, which is of 7 years. The other point that we bring about the counterfeit is the Trinity. We have the Trinity, God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit. And the Satan has his unholy Trinity, which is Satan, Antichrist, and the false prophet. So those are the three that he has. We also see that God seals his children by the Holy Spirit. And we see, as we study the book of Revelation, Satan seals his children by the mark of the beast, which is number 666, which we'll be studying later. Now, God has his children, and believe it or not, Satan has his children too. And the Bible talks of, if you want to make a notation of this, in Matthew 13:38, the weeds are the children of the evil one. We also see the next point, Jesus has apostles, and Satan also has his apostles. And that is recorded in 2 Corinthians chapter 11, verse 13. So now when we come to verse number 2, it says that that this rider, which we have determined now, it is Antichrist, and he sat on the white horse with a bow, and a crown was given to him. And thirdly, he went forth conquering and to conquer. What is the significance or the symbol of a bow? We see that the symbol of a bow means strength. However, in this case, we see that this rider does not have an arrow. That's the usual combination, bow and arrow. But here, he doesn't have an arrow. And they say and explain, this is an indication of an initial deception by peace and agreement, as we see recorded in Daniel chapter 9, verse 27. some understand that suggesting that a bow without an arrow suggests bloodless victories. Can you look back in history during our lifetime and see if there is an example for this nation of America for bloodless victory? If you look back in the year 1991, in December, the great USSR was dismantled and it was dissolved without even firing one bullet, without lifting one rifle. And there was bloodless victory. So we see in this case, this rider carries a bow. And then the second point we see in verse number 2 is a crown was given to him. The question is, who might have given this crown? It's the understanding that this crown was given to him to suggest victory by God himself. Why? What does that stresses to us and teaches us? That means God is sovereign. Nothing happens in this world without God and our Lord knowing what's happening in this world. And so this was permitted and authorized by God, the start of the tribulation. And so it says, and a crown was given unto him. And he went forth conquering and to conquer. When we look at that, the root word for conquering and to conquer would be the meaning of overcoming. He was an overcomer. He was victorious. And so we see this man, this rider on the white horse is Antichrist. He has a crown. In this picture, we see with the crown, he has a bow without an arrow, indicating bloodless victories, and he went about conquering. So we see that he was probably a very smooth individual, very impressive, a very convincing, as he was able to take charge, especially as the tribulation started. What was the event just before tribulation? The event was the rapture of the church, the rapture of the children of God. The children of God have left this earth and leaving behind chaos and confusion and people crying and weeping as to what has happened. And of course, Antichrist here comes on the scene and tries to consoles the people and wins over the people. And then he goes about to Israel and makes the 7-year peace treaty. Moving on, we go to Revelation chapter 6, verse 3 and 4. And it says, and when he had opened the second seal, I heard the second beast say, come and see. And verse 4, and there went out another horse that was red. The power was given to him that sat thereon to take peace from earth, and that they should kill one another, and there was given unto him a great sword. So when we look at this portion here, verse 3, a very interesting thing is what we see here. Jesus Christ up in heaven in the throne of God, he has just opened the second seal. And what does he see? What does John see? He sees a red horse riding out. Something that we see here, which we don't see here, which we saw in verse number 1. When the first horse rode out and brought about and started the tribulation on this earth, the judgment on this earth, what happened was there was a thunder roll. There was a drum roll bringing in. But here we find, very amazingly, there is no thunder roll. There is no drum roll introducing this second rider on the red horse. Why is that? Because this is a train of events that is coming one after the other. And we see that there was this red horse. What does red indicate? Red indicates war and bloodshed. And that's exactly what is happening. And if you look, and power was given unto him that sat thereon to take peace from the earth. Who was taking care of peace on this earth? If you look, during our time right now, we have the Holy Spirit that is controlling and restraining evil. But then once the church and once the children of God is taken up to heaven, what happens? Although the Holy Spirit is still on this earth, it does not restrain evil. So the Antichrist has full power to do what it wants. However, that power was given to him and to the subsequent writers by God himself. God is the one that is giving this power to them. And excuse me. And the power that was given here is to take peace from earth. You see, that's a serious thing. When you take peace from earth, that means there is no more peace. And that, continuing to read that, and it says, and that they should kill one another. That's very frightening, because there's anarchy. There is chaos. There's confusion. There is killing. And there is war. Why do you say that? Because there was given unto him a great sword. I have a picture here, seeing the rider on the red horse, and peace, the authority to take peace was given to him, and he was given a sword so they can take, peace was taken, and there was anarchy on this earth, people killing each other. So where are we at this time? Brothers and sisters, we are not here. We have already been taken up. We have been raptured up. We are in heaven with the Lord. Isn't that a wonderful thing? Because we don't have to see this anarchy. Look at another picture. This, I think, is a picture of during the World War II. Men had constructed beautiful buildings, cars, and all of those were there. Look at this now. Destruction. It's all in a rubble. And that's what happens when peace is taken away from this world. We see there is war in so many places right now. Of course, Syria, Afghanistan, and many places. And we may expect more trouble in this world. And so far, we have not had a major war, and we may expect some. Look at this, a soldier who has given his life. This may be one of the soldiers, the German soldier, or the Allied forces. But this man is a father of children and a husband of a wife that is here, giving his life for this war. And look at this, tanks rolling into the city. This is what will happen if we have war. And following wars, what happened, or during wartime, there is famine. And so let us see what we see in the next verse. Verse number 5 of verse chapter 6, and it reads, and when he had opened the third seal, I heard the third beast say, come and see. And I beheld, and lo, a black horse, and he that sat on him had a pair of balances in his hand. Let's just complete up this verse. And when he had opened the third seal, who was opening the seals? Our Lord Jesus Christ. Where was he? He was up in heaven in the throne of God. And who heard the third beast say? John. John heard this. And what did he hear? He says, come and see. And he saw, what did he see? He saw a black horse. He saw a black horse, and the rider that was riding was carrying or holding a pair of scales in his hand. So we see that a very frightening picture as the third seal was opened. And we see another picture of the black horse, the rider with a humongous large sword, and it is calling for battle, calling for wars. And what happens? He's on a black horse. Black horse indicates mourning. You see, when there is a death and there is a funeral, most of the people, a lot of people, tend to wear black. Of course, that is not universal these days, but many tend to wear a black costume or a suit for funeral. That indicates mourning. Another thing that black indicates is famine, worldwide famine during this time, because what has just happened? War, peace has been taken away from this earth. The judgment upon this earth has started with war, has started with famine. And who suffers when there is famine? Everybody. But we see this pictures of women and children. It is very sad to see the pictures of children here that is suffering because of starvation. This probably is a picture in one of the African nations. It is sad. The next picture that I'm going to show you, I will just show it for a brief period and I will move it away because it is so sad to watch this picture. This is a picture of a child that is in malnutrition. It is a condition called protein malnutrition. Kwashiorkor is the condition, and we have many in underdeveloped countries and in developing countries, in India, in China, in Africa, and all of those, we see that. This is another picture. Who are the ones that suffer most? These are the women and children standing in line because there is no food. Now, it is just not in the third world countries. We have an example. I do not know if you have seen. During our pandemic, we had people lining up in the great state of New York. New York City, they were lining up for food because they had no work. This was a worldwide pandemic that we were going through, or we are going through, and shortages in the grocery stores. But then what happens in the wartime? Wartime, the men are out, gone out to war, but the women and children are there suffering with this type of things. Here we see in one of the Asian areas, Asian countries, children are being given food. Is it just the men that dies? Is it just the women and children that go through starvation? No, it's also the animals. Look at this. This is a drought as a result of whatever is going on. And we see cattle also dying. And we look at Revelation chapter 6, verse 6. And it says, "And I heard a voice in the midst of the four beasts saying, a measure of wheat for a penny, and three measures of barley for a penny. And see, thou hurt not the oil and the wine." A very interesting and important a voice that is heard in the midst of the four beasts. It doesn't say whose voice this is, but the statement and that information is a very important information. And it says, what does it say? A measure of wheat. Remember, when we looked at the black horse, when this man was riding the black horse, he had a balance. And this balance was to measure the food that was given out during the time of famine, during the time of starvation. And usually in the first century, during the Roman Empire, with a penny or the coin of that time was called a denarius, and they got several measures of wheat for it. But here we find that this man received, or this person, for one penny, just received one measure of wheat, which means it was just enough for that one man. How about his children? How about his wife? And how about his family? So they have to go hungry. That's what it is telling us. And it says three measures of barley. Now, barley, for one denarius or one penny, they used to get 15 to 18 measures of barley. But here, they get three measures, not sufficient for them to go through during the time of war and famine. But it is telling us and teaching us the seriousness of that period of time. And you see, and the voice says, and see thou not hurt the oil and the wine. You see, the thing is, this wine talks about alcohol, beer, and all of those types of drinks. It says, don't hurt the oil. The oil could be toiletries, cosmetics, and all of those things, and the wine, which is whiskey and rum and beer and all of those things. You see, they are rationing barley. And with barley, they can make wine or alcoholic beverages. So you see, even during the hardest of times, the rich, the politicians, the well-connected, all of those, the generals, all of them, they have plenty. They don't suffer this. They have everything they need. But the poor, the needy, those that have gone out to war, they are the ones that suffer with death, with malnutrition, with famine, and all of those. You see, it's a sad thing, but it is true. This is the judgment that is happening on this earth during the time of tribulation. This is why it's so important for us that we need to tell the people that do not know Christ as their Savior about the saving knowledge of the Lord Jesus Christ. We all have a responsibility. Anytime we can, if we have somebody, we got to tell them, looking forward to what could happen if they are not a believer in the Lord Jesus Christ. Another picture of the rider on the black horse with the balance that he has. Got some pictures. This is a picture of wheat. I've got some pictures of some grain, which is wheat, barley, rye, rice, maize or corn, oats, and the last one we have there. This is a picture of the coin, the penny, or the denarius. This is regular, and we see a collector's item here. And the next two pictures that I will show you, you will all be very familiar. We use all of these things every day, the toiletries, the cosmetics, and all of those. And during wartime, during the time of famine, during the time of crisis, these are the things which may be difficult for us to get. Why think of tribulation? It's already starting now. During the time of the pandemic, store shelves have been empty. Meats, which is the beef and chicken, has not been available in many stores. This is another group. We use all of this today, you see, but when there is a problem, when there is crisis, there is shortages of these things. Now we go to the fourth seal. And when he had opened the fourth seal, I heard the voice of the fourth beast say, come and see. Now again, I want to stress, after the first seal was opened, when the white horse came riding in, there was a thunder, the thunder roll or drum roll introducing him. But the subsequent opening of the seals, and as the riders come in, we don't see that inauguration or welcoming of them into the earth. And that tells us that it is following one another. It is like a train following in this case. And he says, the fourth one, when he came, and I looked, and behold, a pale horse. Verse number 8. Let me read that from the Bible. And I looked, and behold, a pale horse, and his name that sat on him was death, and hell followed with him. And power was given unto them over the fourth part of the earth to kill with sword and with hunger and with death and with the beast of the earth. Look at it. The fourth beast comes onto the scene, and we see what happens. The name on him was death, and hell followed with him. Why do we see death? Because with all of these things that is going on, death happens. Death happens because of war. Death happens because of famine. Death happens because of infection and trauma, major trauma. Death happens because of that. Death happens because uncontrollable bleeding. Death happens because of the beast or the wild animals. And that's the picture that we see. You see, in each of these riders on these horses, it's bringing about calamity and chaos and death on this in this world. And we see this is a pale horse, and his name is death. When we think of death, the first thing that comes to mind is the physical death. That is when we die. When we die, we are buried. But that's not just the type of death we need to know. There are a total of three types of death. One is the death, which is the physical death that I just mentioned. The other one is spiritual death, as we see in the book of Genesis about Adam. You see, when he disobeyed God and went against the commands of God, what happened? There was separation. There was spiritual death, which means there was separation between God and Adam. And so he lost fellowship with God. And that's what it is. And the third type of death is eternal death. Eternal death is when we have completely and eternally separated with God. And that's not what we need. It is important, and that's why we need to tell people that do not know Jesus Christ about the saving knowledge of the Lord Jesus Christ, even if it means that they would belittle us and say that we are not part of the in crowd. But it is important for us to tell anyone that do not know and have not accepted Christ as their Savior. And what's the other name that was there on him? And hell followed with him. We have heard of hell. Hell is the final resting place of those without Christ. And before they go to hell, they would also go to a place called Hades. What goes to Hades? When we die, we have those in Christ. When they die, their body, their physical body, is buried and goes to the earth as dust joins dust. However, the spirit and the soul goes on to be with the Lord for those that are the children of God. But how about those that are not the children of God? Those have not accepted Christ. They would go, when they die, their body is buried just like anyone else's, and their soul and their spirit goes on to a place called Hades, which is a temporary place that they will be in the spirit world. And finally, they will be raised up in the second resurrection, which is at the end of the 1,000-year reign of Christ, which is after the millennial kingdom period, million years, and they will be raised up and they will be put into hell. So when we see this, this is another picture, a frightening picture, but true. And these are those that do not know Christ as a Savior. They are going into the lake of fire, which is actually hell. So we see that. We still have a few more minutes. Maybe I could just go to verse number 9. It says in verse number 9, and when he had opened the first seal, fifth seal, I saw under the altar the souls of them that were slain for the word of God and for the testimony which they held. Let me just read, finish up that. And they cried with a loud voice, verse number 10, saying, how long, O Lord, holy and true, dost thou not judge and avenge our blood on them that dwell on the earth? And white robes, verse number 12, and white robes were given unto every one of them. And it was said unto them that they should rest yet a little while, for a little season, until their fellow servants also and their brethren that should be killed as they were should be fulfilled. Now, we have a very important opening of this fifth seal. As this fifth seal is opened, Jesus, our Lord Jesus Christ, opens the fifth seal. And what do we see? We see the picture or the sight in the throne of God, the altar, under the altar. Let me find that verse. Open the seal under the altar, the souls of them that were slain for the word of God and for the testimony which they held. Now, I need to let you know whose souls are these. So this is probably the souls of those that died during the tribulation time. You see, there is a group of people that are sealed, as we will see in chapter 7, which we will study the next week, that are sealed for God's children, are sealed so that they can go during the tribulation period and tell them about the saving knowledge of the Lord Jesus Christ. And many that have come to Christ at that time during the tribulation, they will be martyred. They will be killed. And so we see they are killed or slain for the word of God and for the testimony which they held. Got a little picture here. This is the altar. This is the horn of the altar. And the people underneath here, they are resting and they are crying out to the Lord, Lord, when are you going to avenge for our killers? And he's asking them that. And what does the Lord say? The Lord says, hold on, wait, don't be in a hurry. Why don't you rest a little while longer? Because there are more of your brethren, more of those of the children of God that has been converted during the time of tribulation, they are going to be martyred also, and they will be coming here. And they were then, these were given white linen to suggest righteousness, salvation, and they were given that. And we see the next picture here, when the fifth seal opened, we see the picture of those souls in the white gowns that were given, indicating righteousness. If you look at this, you might have seen pictures like this a few years ago when the ISIS troublesome people, when they lined up believers, Christians, with those orange outfits, and they put a cover over their heads, and they beheaded these people for the word of God and for the testimony of Jesus Christ. And so we see that. And I think my time is up. I shall stop here. And if there is any questions, I will take that. And next Tuesday, we will go ahead and continue with verse 12. We just have a few more verses there. And if there is any questions, we will take some questions. And I thank you for your time and for listening with this study.